This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Survive. Oh, baby. Oh, man. That was a tough one, the indoor Monday Night Football yesterday. A doubleheader, Raiders and Falcons, Vikings and Bears. And we had Thursday Night Football with the Rams and the Niners, which is awful. That was 12-6. Last night, you get the Raiders and Falcons. And I believe the Raiders had a shot to tie the game or take the lead. I know Mark Davis and Tom Telesco were in the suites. Tom Telesco, the GM of the Raiders, said, "Do not win this game." Mark Davis said, "Please lose it." They lost 15-9. It was ugly. Minnesota rolls over the Chicago Bears. The Bears are cooked, and Caleb Williams is just lost right now. That offense is lost. But just looking at the quarterback scene last night, now Caleb, I'm going to give him a pass. Shask, as I say, good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. You know, all the overnight dancers, firefighters, cops, etc. Hopefully you're doing some good Christmas shopping and drive safe. But Caleb Williams, I'm going to give him a pass because of the coaching situation. Let's see what he does next year with those weapons, and maybe they, you know, improve their offensive line. So I was really focused on Darnold, Kirk Cousins, and whoever the hell the Raiders were playing. Now, we know the Raiders need a quarterback. That's for sure. They're getting a quarterback, whether it's Shador, Cam Ward, who knows. Maybe they're trying to throw some money at Sam Darnold. I have no idea. But they need a quarterback. Kirk Cousins is cooked. So if Kyle Shanahan was watching that film and there's any second thoughts about Brock Purdy or whatnot, going to Kirk Cousins is not the answer. That's for sure. I think we can cross his name off the list.
Kirk Cousins.
You know who he looked like to me last night?
Matt Ryan?
No, I was going to say Trent Dilfer in a Niner uniform. Like, just can't move, can't throw. The team is scared to throw the ball. Even though I felt like they had a couple of weapons, you know, out there, and Bijan's an absolute stud.
He's gun shy.
I'm watching both those games, and it's 1/8 of the league, essentially, four teams playing last night. And your takeaway was quarterbacks, and mine was absolutely like just looking it through the quarterback prism and also the head coach prism. All the criticisms, myself included, when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, I'm saying, I saw three coaches last night that don't belong in the league.
No. Raheem Morris.
He's a coordinator. I'm watching whatever the hell Antonio Pierce is doing. Nice guy. Dude, he doesn't know what he's doing on offense.
No.
Literally every single punt was going to get blocked last night.
He has no idea what he's doing, period. We've heard the rumors about practice not being organized. I mean, the day one, we saw it last year, was like, oh, they're going to take the bait with Antonio Pierce. And they're going to just bypass Jim Harbaugh.
Absolutely.
I would have threw the kitchen sink at Jim Harbaugh.
And looking at it through a Niner prism, I understand we have higher standards. Believe me, I get that. I understand, like, you know, the way Nike operates isn't the way a startup shoe company is going to operate, right? There are standards at Nike, right? I understand that. And the Niners have standards right now. But how can you watch the rest of the league as you see like Sam Howell coming in for Geno Smith at the end of that game and sit here and say that, you know, A, the quarterback is garbage or stinks, quote unquote, and B, that the head coach has no business being the head coach of the 49ers moving forward. I think both of those things are dismissed when you take off your Niner lenses and you just watch the rest of the league objectively. There are so many bad teams, bad coaches, bad quarterbacks. Does that mean I throw $1 billion at the head coach and give him autonomy for the rest of his career? No. Does that mean I give the quarterback a blank check? No. But I'm saying, like, I know our season's been down, and I know it's bad, and I know it's ugly. At least we aren't those teams.
No.
They look hopeless.
No, Shanahan. I mean, the rhetoric of Kyle Shanahan. Like, the fact that Diana Rossini over the weekend had to write a report that Shanahan's seat is not even close to being hot. I'm like, yeah, duh. Duh. Anybody with the brain would understand that Shanahan's not going anywhere. Nor should he. We see what's happening this year. Yeah. Has he been at his best? No.
No.
As Steve Young said, he needs to reinvent himself. Well, we'll explore that avenue on how he reinvents himself, and I got some ideas on that. We all think they need more explosiveness on the outside and a little more speed, and, you know, you got to stop being so predictable in the red zone or whatnot. But Raheem Morris, I'm not mad at him getting another chance. He did a great job with the LA Rams as their defensive coordinator, but that organization, Arthur Blake and the owner, threw the blank check at Kirk Cousins, and then you turn around and draft Michael Penix Jr. This makes no sense. So now you put yourself behind the eight ball to where if you try to release or move on from Kirk Cousins, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. So I that didn't make any sense, and they passed up on Bill Belichick. They passed up Bill Belichick. He wanted that job. They said no to Bill Belichick. So that's the Atlanta, and Atlanta's going to be Atlanta forever as long as Arthur Blake is the owner. He just gets in the way. And I like the guy, I really do, but he gets in his own way. Minnesota's in a good spot with Kevin O'Connor. I like that guy a lot. I like him a lot. I like his offense. I like his design. You see what he's doing with that offense. You see what he's doing with that defense of Brian Flores. They're in a good spot. They're a sleeper team in the NFC, especially if they get home field advantage and they get to play their games inside that stadium. Ooh-wee, that'd be tough. But those other three teams, like the Raiders, are going to go through another facelift.
I know.
Who wants that job? I mean, you look at the talent on a team. Oh, my gosh.
So, like, we've had people call in. And, again, I know that this is, like, a small drop in the overall bucket of 49er fandom. But people are like, Brock's not an NFL quarterback. No, Desmond Ritter's not an NFL quarterback, right? That's a guy who had, like, 90 yards passing, through 90 yards of total offense. Forget passing. Through, like, basically 3.5 quarters. You know, Brock Purdy is a functional starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he's good. You know, if you think he's middle of the pack, fine, whatever, you know. I understand he's never going to be Josh Allen or Lamar. Yeah, we get that. We understand that, but you can still win a lot of games with him. And this kind of comes back into my, like, Dak Prescott rhetoric, where I hear a lot of people, Dak is terrible.
No, he's not terrible.
Dak's a good player.
They had a top five offense three years in a row, and they've had really no running game.
They've won that division multiple times during his tenure. You know, like, they are a double-digit win team when he plays, essentially, right? And look, is there a ceiling in the playoffs? Sure. But you can make a lot of money and be wildly profitable as an organization going to the playoffs year after year after year. So, I just think the way we talk about these quarterbacks, and I know I'm guilty at times of this, is just absurd. And then I think about confidence, Bonte, and I don't know if Brock's got the ultimate confidence currently going, but I look at someone like Sam Darnold, and he feels very empowered, and he's got a lot of confidence in what he's doing right now. And I think confidence is an intoxicating drug for an athlete.
I thought you were going to keep going there.
No, I was just going on confidence. Like, I'm thinking about guys that don't have confidence. Like, Podziemski doesn't have any confidence right now.
I don't look at Brock Purdy and say, man, that's not a confident quarterback.
I think he's lost a little. That's just my interpretation.
I think he's battling something with the injuries, with the shoulder and the elbow. And then there's a trust factor. You know, when you got Ricky Pearsall, who you weren't able to build a rapport with Ricky Pearsall in training camp for multiple reasons. Deebo Samuel's obviously lost something there. And when your receivers, you don't trust your wide receivers to compete for balls, to compete for contest 50-50 balls like Juwan Jennings, you lose some trust. So, a little confidence in a way that, boy, I don't know if I can throw the ball to this guy. I'm not confident he's going to come down with it. I'm not confident he's going to get wide open. So then, yeah, maybe that confidence does affect your mental psyche to say, yeah, I'm just a little gun shy right now because I don't trust what I have out there. I trust George Kittle. I trust Juwan, but I don't trust the other assets that I have right now. I don't trust our running game to get going here to churn out yards without Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason. I don't trust my offensive line to hold up for 3 to 4 seconds to give me the proper time to dissect the defense and process everything. So, yeah, there's a little slippage there, but I think Brock Purdy, from what I've seen from him throughout his career, the guy can handle adversity. The guy can handle the tough times. And so I just think it's when we focus on the money and what he's going to get, who do you to me, that's just silly stuff. You're going to roll back Shanahan and Brock Purdy. The question I have for everybody is, do you still believe he's a franchise quarterback? Because you could sign him for another year or two and have opt-outs in his contract, but do you think he's a long-term solution? And that's where we waver back and forth. Again, we have the golden four with Allen, Burrow, Lamar, and Patrick Mahomes. We know those guys are just absolute studs. Justin Herbert's trying to enter that category, right? He's trying to enter that category. Jalen Hurts is trying to enter that category. But right now, when you look around the league, I mean, do you really want to move? Like, what's going to be available out there in the open market? It could be a Kirk Cousins. It could be a Sam Darnold. Are you really better off with Sam Darnold as opposed to Brock Purdy? I don't know.
Is it a one-off for Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I
don't.
Do you want to go through that once again? We all talk about out here, like, boy, we're tired of the musical chairs at the quarterback position. Can you sustain long-term success as a franchise if you continue to flip the deck at the most important position in all of sports? And I don't think you can.
Very few teams can pull off what, you know, Bill Parcells did with Hostetler winning a Super Bowl, you know, coming in for an injured Phil right. Sims, or do what Joe Gibbs did, winning with three different quarterbacks, right? Like, that's really hard. It's really hard to do that. To win big. And that's, I think, part of what makes Andy Reid such a intriguing head coach in the history of the game is that he's won with so many different quarterbacks. Right. It's really hard.
A division title here and there, but like going into the playoffs
major.
And winning.
We're talking about winning major. Yeah, winning major. It's very difficult.
Yes.
I mean, again, there's a handful of guys, you know. So I guess when you say franchise quarterback, I guess my question is, what do you mean by that? Do you mean like...
mean franchise quarterback. Is he the guy for the next 4 years? Is he the guy you're willing to sign up for?
So then he would have, a seven-year run as a starting quarterback?
Yeah,
I find that hard to believe just because the league doesn't have a lot of those guys.
I mean, like, do you believe this is a guy for the next 3 years? Hey, we don't have to worry about the quarterback. I'll ask a better question. Are you worried about the quarterback position in San Francisco? Does that position need to be upgraded?
Here's what I would say.
If he's already a top seven, top eight quarterback, or even top 10... It's really hard to upgrade past the golden four.
Yeah, but can't we also see that these things are very cyclical? And like Kirk Cousins had it a couple years ago, injuries gone. Like I think of Jimmy Garoppolo. We spent so much time talking about franchise quarterback.
Did you really believe Kirk Cousins had it though? We've always been down on Kirk.
No, you and I have, but he was a good player. Like he was a solid player. Was
he's
he overpaid? Right. Probably. You know what I mean? Was
he's
he overrated? Right. Probably. But he was a really good player. You could win a lot of games with him. You know, like his team was a fringe playoff team for every year. It was some dysfunctional organization stuff in Washington. Was he not?
Nah, I don't. I mean, they were okay.
So you just never thought he was good?
I've never been a Kirk. You know me. He's okay, but I never thought, boy, let me give the keys to Kirk Cousins. He's going to win you a lot of football games.
Well, that.
No, I never subscribed to that with Kirk. Never. I just, that's just me, though.
Look, I think the Brock thing.
Let me add something to Kirk Cousins real quick. And I think the reason why Kirk Cousins got the bag and why people maybe have a different view of him, I think quarterback position, contrary to what most people think, I think it's at an all time worse collectively. There's so many bad quarterbacks in the league. So many bad quarterbacks.
There's always been bad.
But yeah, right now it's like the golden four, mm-hmm. and then it's like you flip a coin. You never know what you're going to get on a weekly basis from a lot of these guys. So the bottom half of the quarterback position in this league, it's just like the New York Giants. Oh, my God. You go watch one of their games, you're like, dear God, what am I watching here? What am I watching?
Yeah, that's what the Niners went through for, you know, a long stretch.
Exactly. But I'm saying collectively in the league, not just a singular team, because I know that's why it's just so funny that people want to move off of Brock Purdy so fast because of what we did go through with the 49ers. But overall in the league, like Cleveland, they're playing musical chairs. Jameis not the answer. DTR is not the answer. So you have so many. I don't even know if Russell Wilson is going to be long-term solution at Pittsburgh. Who the hell knows what Pittsburgh is going to do?
I think
the New York Jets. I don't know if Drake May. So overall, I'm just thinking, do you really want to move off of Brock Purdy? Because what are the better options?
Well, I don't think anyone wants to just move off of him without options and whatnot. But I do think, like, is my confidence in him at a low point? Probably. Would I insulate myself with bringing in somebody behind him, either to tutor, like under his tutelage, you know, as a draft pick, or some random guy, like hypothetically, you know, we've heard Justin Fields and Mac Jones. Would I bring a reclamation project in? Yeah, I probably would. I think it worked out for Sam Darnold in the sense that he got a chance to see how to train like a professional behind Brock Purdy and what stability does for an individual. And then going back to the confidence thing, I do think his confidence was shot. You know, playing on those New York Jets teams were just, it's a nightmare. It's a disaster. You're seeing it play out with Caleb Williams. I don't even know if Peyton Manning would survive with the situation that's going on with Chicago right now. So, I still think that he's the guy for right now, but what I'm learning in the NFL is, to your point, I think there's only a handful of guys that are going to spend a decade with their team under center. I mean, Russell Wilson, I thought, was going to be a 15 to 20-year Seattle Seahawk.
He was there for damn near a decade, though. He had a hell of a run in Seattle. Hell of a run.
I know, but if I would have told you in 2018, you know, that he wouldn't be finishing his career out in Seattle, you'd find that hard to believe.
I mean, it happens in pro sports, right? I mean, hell, Joe Namath didn't end up with the New York Jets. He didn't finish his career with the Jets. Jerry Unitas didn't finish his career with the Baltimore Colts. Hell, right here in this market. Joe Montana didn't finish with the San Francisco 49ers. Things happen here.
Yeah, but when we say franchise quarterback, I think that there's an assumption like approximately 7 to 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you say that to me with Brock Purdy, I'm going like 1 to 2 years, and then I'll reassess where I'm at. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be a 7 to 10 year starter for the 49ers, and I was wrong on that one. I thought Colin Kaepernick was going to be a 7 to 10 year starter for the 49ers. I was wrong on that one. I thought Alex Smith, when he was initially drafted, was going to be a 7 to 10. I mean, he couldn't even be a starter 3 years in, 4 years in. So I think that things dramatically shift, and you almost have to take like in 2 year increments.
Here's a question. And I'm going to steal this from Zach. And I believe he's from South Carolina. Shout out to South Carolina, Comcast Business Text Line. Morning, fellas. Zach from SC. The idea of moving off Purdy is just silly. The question is, can we win a Super Bowl with him? And I think everyone agrees we can. Talk of how he plays when things aren't perfect is also silly. Look at Kansas City right now. Pat is playing his worst ball with limited receivers, but the defense is amazing. If he was a first-round pick, the perspective would be different. So I guess that is a question. Can you win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy?
I have more doubts today than I ever have. I'm not saying that he can't. I never thought Nick Foles could win a Super Bowl. I would never, just absolutely never. Like, Desmond Ridder will never win a Super Bowl. That, I feel pretty confident in saying, for example. But, like,
not starting anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I
don't think he's going to be
USFL. I don't think he's an NFL player.
He's going to be out of the league.
Yeah, but, like, I feel pretty confident saying Desmond Ridder will never win a Super Bowl. I have more doubts on Brock Purdy winning a Super Bowl today than maybe at any point ever. But I also said the same thing about Sam Darnold. And what did they win, 12 games right now? They're 12 and whatever, too? I never want to say never, but I have more doubts now than I've ever had.
Spinoni 11, you believe that Brock Purdy can win a Super Bowl? I mean, we saw this guy take Mahomes. I mean, they went through overtime and lost.
Yeah, he can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
I echo that belief.
I mean, you got to an NFC Championship game. You got defense in the playoffs. We see him win rally in playoff games.
So you think he can win a Super Bowl?
I think he can win a Super Bowl, but the team, obviously, the defense has to be a little bit better. And, you know, he's not the perfect quarterback. He's not. But can he function at a high level with an offense with playmakers? Absolutely.
So let me do this exercise, and I'm just curious. Like, do you think Jared Goff can win you a Super Bowl?
I'm not 100% sure Jared Goff will win a Super Bowl. But I do think with those weapons, with this team right now, I don't think Detroit's going to the Super Bowl. But Jared Goff is capable of winning the Super Bowl. I know the other guy's like, boy, I don't think Detroit's winning it this year, but I do believe Jared Goff is good enough to help his team win the Super Bowl. The guy can make all the throws.
So then why do you view him different than, let's say, Dak Prescott?
I don't view him different. I don't view Jared. I think Jared Goff is solid. I actually, when Jared Goff got traded, I thought he got a lot of unwarranted heat.
But do you think that Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl?
I think Dak is, you know what, with the right structure, Dak possibly can. Dak had a top five offense for 3 years in a row with limited weapons. I like Dak. With the right pieces around him, Yes, he's capable of going on a run, but you got to have things have to be almost perfect, right?
Of course, in the NFL,
it's never going to be perfect. But you got to have a second wide receiver.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a second wide receiver. He doesn't have a third wide receiver. They lost Schultz, the tight end. He has no running game whatsoever. But he did lead a top five offense in the regular season. But when you got Mike McCarthy as your head coach, yeah, I don't think he can win a Super Bowl with that head coach.
Well, and also,
can you flip the head coach? Head coach matters too.
I know, but Dak also is thrown up all over himself in the first half of every playoff loss that they've had.
Again, they took the Niners to the brink in a playoff game.
And he also threw a lot of them.
But I also don't think he can win with Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy. I think that's also baked into it. I know Brock Purdy has Kyle Shanahan. I think they're capable of winning the Super Bowl. Dan Campbell, I like Dan Campbell. I think he's a riverboat gambler, no doubt about it. But you know what? They can win up there in Detroit. Now, this year, I think their defense is too damn decimated. I don't think they're going to go far in the playoffs because of that defense and all of that. But I do believe Brock Purdy can win a Super Bowl. 888-957-9570. We will shift at 6:50 to some Warriors talk because my boy Evan Barnes is going to join us to give us some intel on Dennis Schroeder, your newest member of the Golden State Warriors. But 888-957-9570, like, I don't really care about the money right now, because we're still in season, and the money's going to be the money, whatever he gets paid. I'm not really focused on that. I'm focused on, do Niner fans still believe in Brock Purdy and whether or not he could be your franchise guy, whatever that means to you, and whether or not he can help you win a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy, you in or out on him? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's coming up, brought to you by the California Lottery.
This is Fillmore Mike, and the Doobie Awards are this Friday at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10. I'll be there. You better be there, too. Now, back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky. Bonte, you know you ain't a king in Fillmore. Nah, I'm playing.
Doobie Awards, it's Friday. Take the day off. Take the day off. Take the day off. We're honoring the best moments from the morning roast all year long in the year of 2024. The best guests, the best callers, the best freestyles, the best of everything. The roasters are invited. We have the rookie roaster of the year as well. YouTuber of the year, are we still doing that? I think we switched that out because YouTube got blocked. No more chat on YouTube. Sorry, YouTube. Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale, 6 to 10 a.m. And you want to get there early.
Hell yeah.
Food may dissipate. I'm telling you, man, this food is so good. Might be gone by 8 o'clock. Seriously. Go to 9570game.com for more details and RSVP. And this is, of course, about celebrating you, the fan. And by the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance. He got the dealer. My boy Evan Barnes will join us at 6:50. He's not covering the New York Giants or Newsday. Got moved to that beat, but he did cover the Nets, and he knows Dennis Schroeder pretty well. So we'll ask him about Dennis Schroeder coming up at 6:50. He covered the Memphis Grizzlies as well, who we'll see on Thursday. And you saw Ja Morant mix it up with the Brooklyn Nets the other night, and Dennis Schroeder cursing out Taylor Jenkins, that coach, and that clown. So we get to see Ja Ja and company Thursday. Grizzlies Warriors.
What do they say? Someone who has the same enemy as me is now my friend?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm totally, you know.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I know. Can I give you an analogy about quarterbacks? And it might not be perfectly, you know, succinct here, but just bear with me. Next door, I've had a lot of success on, okay, in terms of being able to get furniture and stuff for the cabin. There's a whole, like, hack of if you go into certain neighborhoods, you know that those neighborhoods have high-quality stuff that they're getting rid of. But my mom wants me to go pick up some bed frames for her that she bought on Facebook Marketplace. And I've never used Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, I have.
You have?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Okay.
I got my couch off there. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. No, Facebook Marketplace is cool.
Well, I was having a conversation, and my mom was basically saying to the effect that it's very hit and miss. And sometimes you get a gem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get garbage. And depending on what's been posted, how it's been presented, things like that, you don't know what you're getting, you know, until you actually go and see it. You know, you got to kind of get a feel for it. I feel like drafting quarterbacks is almost the same way. Can you find a gem in a Brock Purdy?
Well,
you know, they're giving it away for free if you just come pick it up in an hour. Yeah, it's really rare. And then sometimes you see things like a Scotty Cameron putter, for example, that my dad bought on Facebook Marketplace years ago. And it's a knockoff. and it's not good, and it doesn't have the weights, and it's not even called the Scotty Cameron. You get up close, and it's called like a Robbie Cameron, and it's totally fake, and it's like a Folex, you know? And so I just think that going through the draft and trying to hit the lottery on a quarterback is just so hit and miss.
Well, I know we're focused on quarterbacks right now, but can't you say the same about any position in football? Like wide receiver. They just drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round. We have no idea how a wide receiver is going to translate from college to the pros, where all the different concepts at the wide receiver position, where you learn from college to pro, and then you're playing against defenses that you've never seen before in college. Offensive linemen, right tackle, left tackle, centers, defensive ends, middle linebackers, safeties, corners.
Okay.
I mean, you can kind of say that about every position in the draft because it's all the ultimate crapshoot.
Yeah, no doubt. But the Niners missed on Mike McGlinchey and went to the Super Bowl, right? If you miss on the quarterback, it's really, really difficult to even win 10 games, right? You completely whiff on the quarterback. It's just really hard.
It is.
And very rarely do you get like, hey, we don't think Mitch Trubisky's any good. And right. Playoffs a couple times with him, right? That's very rare for that to happen. You can miss on a receiver and still be a really, really, really good team.
You like, can be all right, yeah.
You know,
doubt.
Like, I just, it is what it is. Like, the Niners missed on A.J. Jenkins in 2012, went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it didn't hurt them long term.
Of course
a couple
it
years
did.
Later when it's like, hey, we need A.J. Jenkins to start balling, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, damn, we don't have a wide receiver.
But it doesn't anchor and now you like everybody, losing a quarterback.
And now, early on, it doesn't. Early on, it doesn't.
I mean, look.
Early on, it doesn't.
It's the most important position in sports.
I agree it's the most important position. And, you know, now, granted, they found Brock Purdy in the seventh round after missing on Trey Lance. The Niners are very fortunate in this sense.
Of course they were.
Jimmy Garoppolo being on the team and not having a team to trade to, or I don't know if the Niners were looking for a first-round pick or a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, but they were very fortunate that they kept Jimmy Garoppolo on the baby field to where Trey Lance gets hurt, because I don't know if Brock Purdy's ready by week three.
Who knows?
I don't. Knows? I don't know. So anyway, let's
go. But to your point, like Joe Douglas said this when he got hired, and it's absolutely correct. He goes, I can hit on all my draft picks, but if I miss on the quarterback, I will be fired in 5 years.
But
and they did. They hit on Garrett Wilson. They hit on Sauce Gardner. They missed on Zach Wilson.
They did.
And that's why he's not employed right now. So,
well, it's also the Jets just being a Jets, too, not having patience. Bad organizations do bad organizational things. But you can hit on the quarterback. Like Sam Darnold, we're finding out, man, he's really not that bad. But if you had the right structure around him, then you succeed.
Sure.
So part of drafting a quarterback is you got to put the right pieces around him, and that's where a lot of organizations get in trouble. Trevor Lawrence, I still think, is a good quarterback, but look at everything around him. Bad head coach, coordinators, bad defense, injuries galore, bad ownership group. You don't have the right pieces around the quarterback, you're still going to get sunk. You may have the right quarterback and still not have the right pieces around the quarterback and still doom your franchise.
Of course you need to have good people. Like Steph Curry doesn't become Steph Curry without Clay.
So my point, right now the structure around Brock Purdy is you have a bad offensive line, you're down to your fourth-string running back, Debo's a shell of himself, the defense is not the same, you got a rookie defensive coordinator, and what do you know? The team is struggling.
Fonte, I'm going to push back. Their roster, we watched four teams play last night. The roster is better than just about all those teams not named the Vikings.
No doubt about it. Nobody's saying that. I'm not saying they're terrible.
Games.
Yeah, but they've lost those games. They're not good enough to beat the good teams, which they haven't done this year. They're not good enough to beat the LA Rams. They're not good enough to hold off the Arizona Cardinals. They're not good enough to hold off the Seattle Seahawks because of everything around them.
No,
there's a lot
of
injuries on this team.
Guys need to step up. Like, they had opportunities to win all these division games, and they've blown themselves, and that to me comes back to player accountability, coaching accountability. Well, you know, like Jerry Rice said yesterday,
to my
no
point,
excuses.
But no excuses. But at the same time, next man up. Well, that next man is Ronnie Bell. That next man is Jordan Mason. That next man was Devondre Campbell. That next man was Tig Brown. That next man was Malik Mustafa.
Detroit is leading the North right now, and they've had injuries galore. They've been without Aiden Hutchinson for weeks on end.
But their Super Bowl chances are
everyone in the league
right
has
in front
injuries.
Of our eyes.
The Kansas City Chiefs lost their number
injuries
one wide
They have injuries defensively, but their offense is still functioning at a high level. And now they lost David Montgomery, so let's see what it looks like.
Absolutely, but they've weathered the storm better than the Niners have. Like that's just...
I think the Niners have had a lot of injuries at a lot of key positions. So anyway, let's go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. Oreo Cookie, what's happening? Oreo Cookie, going once, going twice.
Hello.
What's up, Oreo?
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, man, hey, so as far as Brock Purdy goes, don't get me wrong. We want him to succeed. He's on our team, so we want the 49ers to win. But to answer your question, can he win us a Super Bowl? The answer is no. The guy had his chance last year to win us a Super Bowl, and he didn't get it done. But I can say that he could be a quarterback on a Super Bowl-winning team, if you guys know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. The team around him has to be perfect, has to be good for him to be good. So to answer your question, he cannot win us a Super Bowl, but I don't mind him as our quarterback next year.
That's well put. A quarterback on a Super Bowl winning team. But I will push back on the Super Bowl. Watching that Super Bowl, I wasn't all on Brock Purdy. It wasn't all on Brock Purdy. Like, there's a lot of things that have to go well. On him. Like, Patrick Mahomes is an all-time great quarterback. We saw what happened when he lost his left tackle in that Super Bowl, or going into the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. They could not function as an offense. So, you know, this is why football is the ultimate team sport. We pay so much attention to the quarterback position, for sure. You have to be functional at quarterback. I'm not dismissing that whatsoever. You need to be good at quarterback. You have to be able to take care of the football, make throws, and make plays, and continue to keep drives alive on third down. There is no doubt about that. When I think back to the Super Bowl, Trent Williams stunk, right? Debo stunk. The defense let loose at the end of the game. You know, I mean, there was a lot of things happening in that Super Bowl. Christian McCaffrey, for crying out loud, fumbled. Christian McCaffrey fumbled. So, I don't know. I feel good with Brock Purdy, but it sounds like a lot of people don't feel good with Brock Purdy.
I just think that, you know, and I know you wanted to remove the money, but I think 95% or more of Niner fans are like, hey, if he's willing to take something that is aggregate under $50 million, even though we know it's more about the guarantees, like, let's roll them for the next year or two, three, whatever, however long
so
it is.
So what if he does say, I want 60?
I think a lot of people are going to be like, uh-oh, now we're entering. Because
what if he says, I want $60 million?
Because
are people
no one
ready to move off
that.
Of him? Are people ready to move off of? If he says, I want 55 a year.
I think that that's a road that they're willing to cross if he's willing to be so hardline about it. But I think most people are like, we want him back, but yeah, we don't think he's worth
so
the
what
top Purdy,
I'm
dollar.
Ready to call people's bluff. We're going to talk to Evan Barnes on the other side. I'm going to call people's bluff. I want to hear from Niner fans. If Brock Purdy walks into John Lynch's office and says, I want 55.
So you're giving him a blank check?
I'm not saying I'm not. I want to hear from the fans, not what I think. I want to hear from the fans because I'm not worried about the money. He's going to make what he makes. To me, I don't really care how much he makes. I don't. I don't. I think they're good enough to structure a contract around him and make it a team-friendly deal while he gets paid. However, if he does make 55, say if he does want 55, are you willing to move off of him and go explore options?
I mean, no one. We'll talk about it on the side.
All right. That's coming up on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
He's very excited about coming to us. I just think it all made sense. Whether he's the same style of play, I don't know. You have to be able to win, do different things to win games in different ways. And clearly we lack a little bit of another ball handler. So I think he's going to help a lot in that regard.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that was Joe Lacob with Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard. Now he's part of the Odyssey family, the TK show. That was after the Dallas Mavericks lost on Sunday, 143-133. So Lacob was in a giving mood for a few minutes talking to Tim Kawakami there. Evan Barnes is going to join us, and Evan Barnes has been a friend of the program for a long time, friend of mine for a long time, now at Newsday Sports out there in New York City. And he's been on the beat all over the place. Memphis Grizzlies, he was covering the Brooklyn Nets, now he's covering the New York Giants, for crying out loud. And sorry, Evan, that was a dud of a game on Sunday as Evan Barnes is one of our producers. Sorry, rolled off the tongue. Sorry, Evan. Got the last name wrong. Evan Barnes joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands
Guest
Line.
Clean it up, Bonte.
Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Evan Barnes, the real Evan, the only Evan I acknowledge. What up, Evan? How you doing, man?
I'm good, Bonte. Has it been that long that you forgot my name already?
We got this Evan Giddings kid who ironically is a Chargers fan like you. He's a Chargers fan. He produces the afternoon show. So I don't know why he was in my head. I just Twitter popped up on my plays as I was looking for you. But the real Evan Barnes, you're the only Evan I acknowledge. This other guy's a chump.
My brother. It's good to talk to you, man. Shasky's always good to talk to you, too.
What's up, man? Hey, tell me about Dennis Schroeder. Like, what's he got left in the tank? Warrior fans are familiar with him, obviously, but making this deal, they need another ball handler. Where is he at right now in his career?
I would say that right now, you could argue Dennis Schroeder is playing some of the best ball of his career at this point. I mean, he has been really playing at a high level since the FIBA World Cup last year, and by last year, 23, when Germany won the FIBA World Cup, Schroeder was their best player on the team with Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, you know, a couple other pros. And then in the Olympics, he played really well for Germany, and then he carried that over to the Nets where he was bringing toughness, leadership, great ball handling. You know, they obviously were doing a two-guard lineup with him and Ben Simmons. But whenever Schroeder was on the court, there was a steadiness and there was an aggressiveness. He could still get his shot off. He could still attack the basket. So I think what the Warriors are getting is not just a capable point guard, but someone who can really come in, maybe stay that second unit, or if they're going to play him with Curry. He's played alongside Ben Simmons, so it helps Curry get off ball and get some easy shots. So you're getting a Dennis Schroeder that is playing at a really high level despite this being year 12 in the league.
You know, Evan, what type of guy is he? Because, you know, he could be a pest on defense, right? And I could see him being annoying. We saw the clip the other night against Memphis where he's jawing back and forth with Taylor Jenkins. Who is Dennis Schroeder? What is he like in the locker room? How is he going to mess with the personalities that the Warriors do have and like Draymond Green and Stephen Curry and Jonathan Kuminga? Who is Dennis Schroeder, the person, off the floor?
He's a pro. Like, this is a guy who comes in, doesn't take any crap. Obviously, he has a standard. He has a professionalism about him. This is a young man who, I guess say young, he's younger than us, but this is somebody who has basically played at a high level since he was a young player in Germany, you know? So he's going to come in. He's going to obviously demand respect. He's not going to come in with a lot of the ego or anything like that. He's going to immediately see what the team needs. He's going to see, hey, how do I fit in, and then do his job. He's not going to come in being boisterous or whatever, but he will be assertive. He will definitely fit in with, say, a Draymond, who is obviously going to speak his mind and whatnot. But Dennis Schroeder is going to fit in just fine. He's not somebody that you can just say, plug in, how's it going to work? He's going to plug in and just seamlessly fit in that locker room. The Nets, a younger team, really looked up to him, admired him for how he set a tone the minute he got there. They admired his professionalism. I use that word a lot, but really, that's the best way to describe him. So I think the Warriors are getting a guy who is going to come in, fit in very well, and immediately help, but also raise the culture of the locker room by teaching some of those young guys kind of how to be a pro.
In terms of all of the speculation with other players maybe that the Warriors were interested in, hypothetically, Cam Johnson or Cam Thomas. I don't know. I've seen a lot of different varying reports. What did you think of what the Nets got back and what the Warriors gave up? And should they have been interested in, say, Cam Johnson?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to understand what the Nets are trying to do. The Nets are in a position where this year is a rebuilding year, where their goal is, we want to get into the top five of this draft lottery, no matter what. That's why as soon as Sunday's deadline came where players can be traded, they probably said, hey, if we can trade somebody, let's go ahead and make it happen. So Dennis Schroeder obviously became the first player on that team to go. So I would say if you were looking at maybe Cam Johnson, the asking price is going to be a little bit higher for Cam Johnson because while Schroeder is a good player, Cam Johnson obviously is younger in his prime, 40% shooter from three with size, also playing some of his best ball right now. I think that asking price would have been a little bit too high for what the Warriors want to do, because obviously, you know, the Warriors have a really deep roster they want to get into. So trading Melton, who obviously I really have loved Melton because I covered him in high school, trading him with that contract probably made the most sense, as well as getting rid of those second-round picks. So I think the Warriors probably didn't have to give up a lot, but the Nets will appreciate having more second-round picks because they're trying to stockpile picks. They're trying, They're kind of taking an OKC model of let's get as many picks as we can and then worry about the rest later. So I think that with the Warriors, you know, you didn't really give up a lot to get Shooter, but you got a player who can help you right away. Unfortunately, with Melton's injury, we'll have to wait to see next year what he can bring to a team.
Yeah, Evan Barnes here on the River Islands guest line, of course, covers the New York Giants now for Newsday, formerly on a Brooklyn Nets beat. Why do you think Schroeder's been on so many different teams over the course of his career? We heard the infamous story about giving up the bag with the L.A. Lakers where they offered a boatload of money. He's like, nah, I'm good, and probably never saw that money again. But what's the deal? Because you follow the L.A. teams as closely as you do the Brooklyn Nets or whatnot because you're from L.A. Why do you think he's been on so many different teams, Evan?
You know, it's fun, Vontae. One of my good buddies in the Bay asked me that, too. And it's hard to say because he is a pretty good character guy. Like, I haven't heard anything about his character or him being someone that's hard to deal with. I can tell you the Nets thought very highly of him while he was there. You know, it's hard to say. I just don't know. But I do know that he is a really, you know, solid player in this league. Right. It's just very strange when, you know, maybe it's a contract he has or it's an easily tradable contract, right? It expires after this year. Maybe that's an easy piece to get rid of. I don't know. There's a good chance Schroeder might be playing for another team next year. And then we say nine teams in nine seasons, right? I'm not sure, but I do know that Schroeder is somebody who can be very firm about what he wants. Schroeder can be very firm about, you know, his role. But from what I saw in Brooklyn, he is a quality player. So I don't think it's a character thing. So I don't think Warrior things need to worry about character or any of that. Like, he is a good character guy in terms of what he brings to that locker room. So it might just be the nature of the business, which is strange for someone who has been as productive as he is.
Look, he was in Atlanta for 5 years. They were trying to compete for playoff spots or whatnot. But then I look at the teams that he's been on, Evan. OKC, during a period where they were rebuilding and tanking for picks. The L.A. situation, obviously, they moved off of him. Boston, they moved off of him. But Toronto, a rebuilding team. Houston, at the time where he was there for 15 games, rebuilding. So wrong situation at the wrong time for Dennis Schroeder. Just hasn't really been able to latch on to a contender here. Real quick, because you're on the Giants beat now. I'm so proud of you for covering the NFL. That must be a lot of fun. You're now going to the NFL Combine soon, Evan. You got to go dress up for Indianapolis. You got the NFL Draft. You have Malik Nabers. You may have Shedeur Sanders in your life soon, Evan.
Man, you make it sound so good. I mean, honestly, that's kind of how it feels, man. Like, I'm learning how to adjust from the NBA to, you know, this is not week three for me on the NFL beat. And literally, the biggest story was Malik Nabers playing catch with Shedeur Sanders last Friday, since Shedeur was out here for the Heisman, supporting his boy Travis Hunter. So, it's interesting, man. Like, the Giants are obviously not a good team. They have the NFL's worst record. All signs are pointing to what's going to happen in the draft. But I can tell you, man, Malik Nabers is fun to watch. He's a great player. I can tell you that Shedeur or Cam Ward, whichever one comes here, I think Giants fans will be happy given the poor quarterback play they've had to suffer through this year. There are up to four quarterbacks who have thrown passes in a game, which is the first time that's happened since 1992 when I was a small tyke and Vontae, you were up here rooting for Steve Young taking over for in injured Montana, I think, that year or whatever. So, yeah, man, it's pretty cool. It's cool. But, yeah, the Giants, they got a lot of work ahead of them.
Before we let you go, real quickly, Evan, because we're up against it, we appreciate the time today. Brian Daboll, Joe Schoen, they out the door? Or what's the Mars going to do here with their coaching staff and the GM?
We will see. John Mara basically gave Daboll a vote of confidence earlier this year. But if this Giants team, which is on a 90-game losing streak, if they lose the rest of the season, there might be some tough conversations. I don't know. We know the fans are fed up. We've seen two planes fly over the stadium the last two games with messages about protests. We will see.
Oh, boy. Welcome to the New York Giants beat, Evan. Definitely a lot more.
What am I walking into? I love it.
Oh, man, I'm proud of you, man. You're over there doing great your stuff. Thing at News 8 again. Evan Barnes, not Evan Giddings. Evan Giddings does a fine job here at 95.7 Game. Evan always predicts the time. I'm sad that I missed you last time you were out here with the Brooklyn Nets when they lit up the Warriors on that Monday night, man. What a disaster that was for the Dubs.
Hey, man, that was tough. That was a tough game. Fun game for the Nets, but the Warriors, man, I was not expecting that. We all were kind of shocked and press row, but, man, always good to be in the Bay. I wish I could have seen you, brother, but, hey, keep doing your thing. I'm proud of you. You know, I love you, and thank you for having me, man.
Anytime, Evan Barnes here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Covered the Brooklyn Nets for Newsday. Now he just moved over to the beat for the New York Giants.